Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
I'll sing aloud his praises, that men may hear the grateful song my joyful spirit raises. My heart revived, my soul restored, my heart rejoices in the Lord. Declare the wondrous story. Cast every idol from its throne, for Christ is Lord and Christ alone. To God all praise and glory. 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 To God all praise and glory.
Good morning, everybody. We're going to play some music for you while everybody finds a seat, gets situated. I'm Mike Tooman. I'm up here with the band. We usually play every Sunday at the 11 o'clock service. One, two, one, two, three, four. Thank you.
open the gates of heaven, lift up a shout of praise. There is a lion roaring, Jesus the King of glory.
Here we go.
Lift your eyes, stand in awe, stand in awe. There is one, only one, where my help comes from. The King of glory, there is a God who saves, one who is strong and mighty, freedom is in his name. Open the gates of heaven, lift up a shout of praise. There is a lion roaring, Jesus the King of glory.
Ready, here we go.
Nations bow, mountains shake at the sound of just one name. Over all, Jesus reigns.
Sing that with us if you'd like. Nations bow, mountains shake.
Nations bow, mountains shake
at the sound.
The sound.
Just one name.
Just one name.
Over all, Jesus reigns.
Over all, Jesus reigns.
Oh, don't lose heart.
Oh, my soul.
Oh, my soul.
No, don't give up. There is hope. There is always hope.
Amen.
from a thousand steeples, none rings truer than this. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. All God's children sing out glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. And all the powers of darkness tremble at what they've just heard. 'Cause all the powers of darkness can't drown out a single word. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. All God's children sing out glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. All God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. All God's children sing out glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he
Thank you. Before we do another song, I'd like to introduce the band quickly. From left to right, we have Larry, Megan, Nancy, Lori, Carol, Mike, Arla, Steve, Kate, and Steve, who are all up here just killing it. If you would give them a round of a hand with me, please. Round of a hand. Cool.
God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across the sky. These hallelujahs be multiplied. Your love is like radiant diamonds bursting inside us, we cannot contain. Your love will surely come find us like blazing wildfire, singing your name. God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across the sky. These hallelujahs be multiplied.
Bursting inside us, bursting
inside.
We cannot contain,
we cannot contain.
Your love will surely come find us.
Your love will surely come.
Like blazing wildfires screaming your name. Like blazing wildfires screaming your name.
God of mercy, sweet love of mine. May this offering stretch across the sky. These hallelujahs be
Amen. Amen. Ready? One, two, three, four.
Let our praise be your welcome. Let our songs be a sign. We are here for you. We are here for you. Let your breath come from heaven. Fill our hearts with your light. We are here for you.
Amen. Amen. Welcome to worship.
Amen. Good morning, church. It is a joy to be with you this morning. This is a wonderful day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we warmly welcome you to worship this morning to First United Methodist Church here at our Brighton campus. I'm Pastor Lindsay, one of the pastors that serves at the congregation. And with me this morning, it is a delight to welcome Bishop Bard as well as Lou Ann Rourke. Thank you for being with us in worship this morning. Today is a great day as we celebrate the mortgage retirement. Praise God. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your generosity over the past 26 years and the way that you've been making disciples and transforming this world. I just want to draw your attention to the connection card that is in your bulletin. I'd encourage you to fill it out at some point in the worship service, and then you can place it in the offering plate when it comes to the offering. Make sure and note various different ways to get involved in ministry and mission here at the church. And there's a couple of announcements, things I'd like to lift up to your attention. In your bulletin, there was also a flyer for the Hope for Christmas service. Hope for Christmas is going to be on Sunday, December 4th at 5 o'clock. It'll be a beautiful service of candlelight and communion, a beautiful way to start our Advent journey as we focus our hope on Jesus Christ. Also in your bulletins, I would draw your attention to the children's musical. That's going to be on Sunday, December 11th at 5 o'clock. It's going to be a fun event for the kids to perform, for you to enjoy, and a wonderful dinner to follow. And guess what, kids? Santa is even going to make an appearance after the performance, so you will not want to miss out on that. And this Advent, we're going to be reading Adam Hamilton's book, The Journey, and you can pick up a copy of the Advent study book. It's $13 in the main office, or you can pick it up today. Those are $13. I encourage you to pick one up and read along as part of our Advent study. Well, it is a great joy to be with you in worship this day. May we now continue to praise God in spirit and in heart.
Veterans Day, we want to pay our respects to those who have defended our nation and who have put themselves in harm's way on our behalf. So we're going to today recognize first those who are among us who have served in the military. So if you are someone who's here today who has served in any branch of the armed services, we would like to ask you to stand right now and let us thank you for your service. Please stand.
Please stand and join us for our first song. One, two, three, four. I can see the clouds, I can see the clouds rolling. I can feel the winds on try to shake me. I will not be moved. My feet are on the rock. I can feel the waters rise. I can hear the howling lies that haunt me. Fear won't hold me now. My feet are on the rock. When I feel my hope about to break, I will cling to your unchanging grace. Let the water come and the earth give way. I'll be dancing in the rain. My feet are on the rock. I can see the morning light. I can feel the joy on the horizon. Here my faith is found. My
stand on solid ground. When I feel my hope about to break, I will cling to your unchanging grace. Let the waters come, let the earth give way. I'll be dancing in the rain. My feet are on the rock. Here we go. On Christ the solid rock I stand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So stomp your feet and clap your hands. Our feet are on the rock.
Again.
On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So stomp your feet and clap your hands. Our feet are on the rock.
Again. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Stomp your feet and clap your hands. Our feet are on the rock.
When I feel my hope about to break, I will cling to your unchanging grace. Let the water come and the earth give way. I'll be dancing in the rain. When I feel my hope about to break, I will cling to your unchanging grace.
Yeah.
Let the water come. My feet are on the rock.
All right, one last time. My feet are on the rock.
My feet are on the rock.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for being here, and thank you, praise team, for leading us in song this morning as we begin our service together. We wanted to begin with a litany, and so some of the words will be on the screen in bold, and we invite you to just join us in the refrain as we move our way through these words together. You had dreams of a sanctuary where everyone is welcome. Architectural drawings were solicited, ideas shared, a vision was born. You met in a high school gym to kick off the campaign. We celebrate all that was, is, and is to come. Praise God.
And shovel met earth, and a foundation was poured. The frame was constructed. Walls and bricks took shape. Dreams became reality with a roof and lights and plumbing and carpet.
We celebrate all that was, is, and is to come.
Praise God.
The pews arrived in an organ. Then it was time to move in, saying goodbye to what became the community room, familiar to some as a sacred place where weddings, funerals, and baptisms took place.
We celebrate all that was, is, and is to come.
Praise God.
Oh, the first Sunday of worship and music, prayers, and scripture, this too became a holy ground. With bells and guitars, drums and memorials, weddings and baptisms, and God at work in it all.
We celebrate
all that was, is, and is to come.
Praise God. Eventually, a vision took shape for the space below us. Walls were raised, drywall hung, paint spread for classrooms, ministries, Sunday school, vacation Bible school, the Samaritan Counseling Center, and our nursery. All those long nights volunteering.
We celebrate all that was, is, and is to come.
Praise God.
For 26 years, checks were written. 13th mortgage payments were made, sacrifices so that this sacred space could be used for ministry, and ministry is exactly how it has been used, for concerts and hope for Christmas, mission projects, VBS, quilts being blessed and sent out, and people called into ministry, and so much more.
We celebrate all that was, is, and is to come.
Praise God.
And now we ask the question, what is next? How will God call us to use this space to continue to do the work of ministry in the years to come?
We celebrate all that was, is, and is to come.
Praise God.
Praise God. Amen.
Hi, my name is Sherry Parker Lewis, and I was the pastor here at First United Methodist Church from 2008 until 2020.
My name is Bob Fuchs, and it is a joy to be with you as we celebrate this space.
Hi, I'm Susie. I served on staff at Brighton First from 2000 to 2014.
Hi friends, my name is Paul Hamm. I was an associate pastor at Brighton from 2013 to 2015.
Congratulations, Brighton First United Methodist Church, on paying off your mortgage. I'm Jenny Brown. I served as associate pastor at Brighton from 2003 to 2006, and now I am appointed as clergy assistant to the bishop and director of clergy services for the Michigan Conference.
Even though there's a number of events that come to mind, some of the things that I reflect on most intimately are the ones of lives that came to an end and the celebration of life that came thereafter. Keep telling the stories, and hopefully you continue to cast vision of how you might be able to make a difference in the lives of those that you serve, both within your community and beyond. Take care.
I vividly remember the amazing prayer quilts that we blessed and prayed over every Sunday in worship at Brighton. I remember being surprised to learn that even though the quilts all looked different, it was the same pattern each time, just with a clever use of color that made each of them unique.
It has been my joy to be in this sanctuary, to celebrate baptisms and weddings, to grieve with you at funerals and memorial services, and to be in worship in moving and powerful ways.
Well, Brighton friends, congratulations. I certainly am happy for all that you've done, and to think that by the grace of God, that mortgage is behind. The question I'd like to ask is what's next? Because I know that there's always some ideas out there in the mission of Christ in the church will make a lot of difference. What I remember best when the sanctuary was built was the change that was possible in our worship life. Immediately, we all felt a great sense of worship as we gathered in that space. I especially enjoyed all of the technical capabilities that were built in.
I'm also celebrating that it was in this sacred space over the years that you have sent out so many, sending people through baptism into a life of faith.
I have many fond memories of doing Wednesday night crossroad classes in the education wing, but I spent most of my time working in the sanctuary, leading worship with the liturgist, the acolytes, and the Reverend Dr. Sherry Parker Lewis. Even though I had been a pastor for about 10 years before I came to Brighton, I always say that Brighton First is where I learned to be a professional from watching Pastor Sherry lead worship.
Over the course of those years, I served as a Christian education director, a youth leader, adult faith formation leader, and our missions. The way that you invested in your building, the way that you committed to having a welcoming and open facility for the community and for the people within the church made a big difference in the ministries that I did. For one thing, my very first worship experience at Brighton was on the weekend that the sanctuary, that you are sitting in right now probably, on the weekend that it opened, Dr. Harry Davis invited me to come and see the new building and celebrate with this congregation that I did not know. And I sat there, it was a Saturday night service, I sat there was welcomed and enveloped by the love, and well, I just never left. I became the Christian director, and of course there were so many ministries that were dependent on the building. When I started, the basement wasn't finished, and we worked on doing that. We renovated, we carried through or brought through that building hundreds of children and youth that whose faith was formed and grown, who knew that they were loved and cared for, who knew that the adults invested in them. So I give thanks. I give thanks for all of you who continued to support the ministries of the church through the facilities. And I give thanks for my ancestors in the faith who believed and invested in the possibilities that were to come.
I remember to being called into the ministry and being blessed here. by this congregation as I was sent out.
Sending out teams of missionaries that have touched the world across the globe in powerful ways in the name of Jesus Christ. And sending out those who are doing ministry in other places, professional ministry in all kinds of shapes and forms. They found their faith and the energy and the courage to take the risk in the name of Jesus Christ in this place.
I remember back to the middle school retreat, Nothing But Nets. I remember the times that young people's worship arts shared music and dance and song with us, and it was incredible. I think back to personal experiences of baptisms, of marriages, of funerals, all those different life events that occur in our church that occurred in this space.
We played Nerf Wars in there. We celebrated by playing music and having youth-led worship and being able to use that whole area to give our message. That space is where I first learned how to be a pastor and how to do worship from that point of view. And I appreciate every moment that I spent there.
The debt is gone. Those monthly payments no longer exist, and that money, keep giving it, because that money will be used to further the kingdom here on earth. It will continue to allow First United Methodist Church in Brighton and Whitmore Lake to make disciples of Jesus Christ. I celebrate with you this day.
And I am celebrating with you the end of your debt for this lovely sanctuary, the education wing, and the well. This was an investment that was sacred and holy.
That is good. Amen. Well, it's a pleasure to introduce Bishop Bard this morning, and his wife Julie is also with us in worship. Bishop Bard is currently serving as the bishop of the Michigan area of our conference. He is also the interim bishop of the Minnesota area of the United Methodist Church. He's been a United Methodist pastor for over 30 years. He's served congregations in Rousseau and the Iron Range, and from 1998 until 2005, he was also a district superintendent for the Northwest District in Minnesota. And just prior to coming to Michigan, Bishop Bard was a pastor of First UMC in Duluth in Minnesota, his home congregation, a community that he grew up in. He served on a number of regional and denomination-wide boards and committees, and he was elected to represent the Minnesota Conference at five general conferences. He was elected to the Episcopacy in 2016, and he's currently serving as the president of the North Central Jurisdiction College of Bishops, and he is a member of the Council of Bishops Anti-Racism Task Force. Bishop Bard graduated from the University of Minnesota in Duluth, from United Theological Seminary in the Twin Cities, and he has a PhD in religious studies and with a concentration in Christian ethics from Southern Methodist University in Dallas. He's taught a number of college courses. Bishop Bard is married to his wife, Julie, who's also from Duluth, and they got married in 82. Julie is a longtime educator, and they have three children, David and Elizabeth and Sarah, and two adorable grandchildren, Henry and Eleanor. Bishop, it is wonderful to have you in worship with us today, and Julie, thank you for being with us, and we look forward to your message in just a moment.
Good morning. My name is Kelly Myers, and I'll tell you, between that video and looking out in here, my heart is full today. I got a little emotional, so thank you for joining us. This morning's first scripture reading is from Isaiah chapter 65, verses 17 through 25. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. But the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountains, says the Lord. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you. Good morning, First Church. Isn't this great? I'm Sue Urban, and I'm bringing you the reading from the scripture of Malachi. See, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that comes shall burn them up, says the host, the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We're going through a lot of people this morning. I'm Liz Hoover, and I'm honored to be able to be part of this ceremony this morning. This morning, the part I'm reading is from Luke chapter 21, verses 5 to 19. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" Jesus said, "Beware that you're not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' the time is near. Don't go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then Jesus said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom will rise against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places, famines and plagues." This is really cheerful. "And there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you the opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you the words and the wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or to contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and siblings, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please join me in prayer. You know, if we were on a Zoom meeting, you'd all say, "Oh, you're on mute." But we don't have to do that. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come before you in deep gratitude. Gratitude for generosity, gratitude for service rendered, gratitude for all of the ways that you have continued to call the people of this church into ministry. And we gather, as we do Sunday after Sunday, to listen intently. The word we most need to hear, O God, is the word your Spirit wishes to speak. Use the fragile vessel of my words to let your Spirit speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, I greet you in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the peace and power of God's Holy Spirit. It is my pleasure and delight to be here with you today on this celebratory time, as you retire or burn your mortgage. Retirement sounds nice and cordial. You know, at some moment, you really want to see the paper go up in flame, and I understand that's going to happen at some moment. A mortgage you've had for 26 years, a mortgage that has made ministry in new ways possible in this place. I celebrate it with you, and I celebrate with great joy. I celebrate with joy, and yet acknowledge that the gospel reading this morning does not exactly exude joy. Why this crazy text and this strangely disconcerting sermon title? Well, the text is the lectionary gospel reading for the morning. And some of you may be familiar, it's this three-year cycle of readings, and when I'm asked to preach someplace, it's usually the first thing I go to. I look at the lectionary text and say, can this say something on this occasion? And sometimes I pass it by. And you're probably thinking, that would have been a really good choice this morning. But I think it might have something to say to us, and I've got, you know, a few minutes to see if, in fact, it does. Although if you're looking at all of us this morning, you might wonder about my ability to make good choices. We were given the choices between black or white robes. I chose wrong. And the sermon title, All That Is Solid Melts Into Air. That's not exactly joyful either. The phrase comes from an 1848 work written by a European social historian and philosopher reflecting on what was going on in Europe at the time, 1848. The 1840s in Europe were years of economic and political turmoil. There were famines and other economic hardships, unemployment, and all that led to a lot of social upheaval. One historian described that decade in Europe as a continent-wide explosion of revolution. The French king abdicated the throne, empires tottered, concessions were made by some of those empires towards more participatory political arrangements. Serfdom in Austria was abolished, and yet many of the people's deepest hopes for social arrangements that allowed for their participation were dashed. All that is solid melts into air. And in the early 1980s, a cultural historian named Marshall Berman used that phrase to write a book titled All That Is Solid Melts Into Air. And Berman in his book wanted to describe what it's like to live in modernity, the maelstrom of modern life. He said, modern people are moved at once by a will to change, to transform both themselves and their world, and by a terror of disorientation and disintegration, of life falling apart. They know the thrill and the dread of a world in which all that is solid melts into air. Well, if that sort of experience of all that is solid melting into air has been around for some time, there seem to be particularly profound moments when it seems especially true. 1848. And maybe we are on the cusp of such a moment in our own time. We're emerging still from the chaos of a pandemic. Many of us, after Tuesday's election, breathed a sigh of relief because it was relatively calm. Whether you like the results or not, let's not get into that. But it was relatively calm, and we were concerned about that. And we remain concerned that the deep polarization in our country might yet emerge in disruptive and perhaps even violent ways. We're breathing a sigh of relief and yet maybe still breathing a little uneasily. There's a sense that our democracy is more fragile than we may hope. Inflation remains a problem, as does economic inequality. Social media continues to have an impact on how we live our lives and the quality of our life together. It both connects us wonderfully and tears us apart. It's a wonderful source of information. We get news so quickly, and disinformation spreads just as quickly and widely and wildly. Long-standing institutions are not as strong as they once were. Trust in them is eroded. And within our United Methodist Church, there is separation and disaffiliation. All that is solid melts into air, 2022 version. And maybe it's not just the more modern world where it can feel like all that is solid melts into air. The days are coming, Jesus says, when not one stone will be left upon another. You know, that's a really terribly inapt reading for a day when you're celebrating your building. Sorry about that. All will be thrown down. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified. Nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes in various places, famines and plagues. Those words of Jesus seem to indicate that people have had that experience, that feeling of all that is solid melting into air for a long time. And maybe it's resonating now particularly loudly. And we in the church cannot insulate ourselves from the wider world. We in the church cannot isolate ourselves from what's going on outside our doors. We've gathered to celebrate the full payment of your mortgage and the wonderful things that have happened because of that. Celebrate and remember that for the church, buildings are both always sacred space and also tools. Beautiful tools, to be sure, but they're tools for ministry. Buildings are meant for ministry, and ministry engages the world. It engages the world in that we bring the hurts and pains and wounds of living in this world, the maelstrom of the modern world, we bring those things into this space and place with us. We come yearning for wholeness and direction. In a world where sometimes it can feel like all that is solid melts into air, we long for a sense of direction and purpose. We need the good news of God's love for us in Jesus Christ, which heals and frees and redeems and orients our lives. We need to hear the good news of the gospel. You are loved. You are valuable. The image of God resides in you. Your hurts can be healed, maybe over time, but they can be healed. You can be freed from patterns of behavior that undermine your well-being and your relationships. You can be part of something bigger. Your life can contribute to something grand. Ministry engages the world also as we take this healing, freeing, redeeming love of God in Jesus Christ out of the building. And it looks like you do a great job of that. Thanks for those celebratory videos. Those were wonderful. We have good news to share that others need to hear. There is brokenness in the world that needs the healing love of God that can flow through us. There are hungry people to be fed. There are lonely people who need to be listened to and embraced. There are injustices to be rectified. There are people who have been marginalized, left out, left behind, who need to know that they too are a part of God's beloved community. And we are about the work of creating more beloved community. In the midst of this rapidly changing world, we know that some of our forms of ministry have to change. Which changes will be most helpful? We don't always know. It seems that those times when it feels like all that is solid melts into air, we need to be able to be creative and adventuresome and resilient. Not everything we try is going to work spectacularly well or work as we want it to. So we learn from our experiences and we try something else. And as you come to this pivotal moment in the life and history of your church, I know you're asking, what's next? At least a few people on the video asked, what's next? I can't tell you precisely, but I encourage you to be open to the whispers of the Spirit, to the imaginative inklings of God's Spirit. And in saying that, I want again to affirm that, you know, for 26 years you've been paying off this mortgage, but you haven't exactly been in a holding pattern. You've been engaged wonderfully in ministry, creatively in ministry, and I celebrate that with you too. And among those things is you've started a two-campus church. That's an adventure and an experiment, and I'm grateful for that. All that is solid melts into air, and yet I want you to hear this. Not all Not all that is solid melts into air. Or sometimes maybe the melting that happens in history can be transformed by the grace of God into something that flows into God's future. Here's the good news. Even when it seems that so much is changing, and even when we know change is needed and it's uncomfortable, even then when things all seem to be melting away, know this. God is up to something. God is always up to something. We need those scriptures like Luke 21. Maybe we really don't need Luke 21. I mean, it's not anybody's favorite scripture, but we need those scriptures of doom and destruction, I think, to remind us of the brokenness of the world, the deep hurt and trauma that goes on in the world to which we are called to respond. And we need it to remind ourselves that we carry some of that brokenness in our own lives. Yet those texts are always meant to be accompanied by texts of profound hope. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. Be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating, for I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. The wolf and the lamb will lie down together, shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. The day is coming, burning like an oven. For those who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in its wings. God is up to something. God is always up to something. And no matter the kind of melting that's going on in the world around us, that does not melt away. God's purposes in the world, God's grace, God's power can even transform some of that melting into a creative river flowing into God's preferred future. As the church, we always need to hold together that deep sense of the brokenness of the world, the profound hurt and trauma that people experience in the world, the injustice in the world, and the enduring trust that God is always up to something, something creative and beautiful and compassionate and caring. The Irish poet Seamus Heaney brought together these two ideas beautifully in one of his poems. So those of you who love poetry, there's a little bit coming. Those of you who hate it, just hang on. Human beings suffer. They torture one another. They get hurt and get hard. History says, don't hope on this side of the grave. But then once in a lifetime, the longed-for tidal wave of justice can rise up and hope and history rhyme. So hope for a great sea change on the far side of revenge. Believe that a further shore is reachable from here. Believe in miracles and cures and healing wells. If there's fire on the mountain and lightning and storm and a God speaks from the sky, that means that someone is hearing the outcry and birth cry of new life at its term. God is up to something. God is always up to something. The Methodist theologian David Field, in one of his books, said, God is a mission in the world, and love is at the heart of that mission. God is up to something. God is always up to something. God is always up to love. God is always up to justice. God is always up to healing. God is always up to reconciliation. God is always up to building beloved community. God is always up to rhyming hope and history. Even when it seems that all that is solid is melting into air, God is up to something. God is always up to something. We're celebrating a significant achievement and a significant moment in the life and ministry of this church. Celebrate it. Celebrate it with joy. You know, at one point I thought, well, maybe I'll ask anybody who's contributed to the project to raise your hands. Don't do that. Because I thought, well, maybe somebody's new here. You know, you don't want to put people in that awkward spot, but you know who you are. Raise your hands inside and clap for yourselves. You know, we can all clap together for you. Thank you for your work in making this project happen. And maybe some of you had circumstances in your lives where financial contributions weren't possible. But you were here, and I know, I'm guessing it's a church, so you some of you painted. Some of you did other kinds of things, and others of you were here to use the ministry as a place, use the building as a place for ministry. I celebrate all that with you. And what's next? I can't tell you exactly. But I encourage you to listen to the hurts of the world that are particularly calling to you. Listen. Listen to how God is nudging you to use the gifts of this beautiful building and the wonderful gifts of the people of this church. How is God calling you to use those? And listen to the whispers of God's Spirit, the imaginative inklings of God's Spirit. What's next? I can't tell you, but this I know. In this broken world, it will be a joining in God's work of healing. In this divided world, it will be joining in God's work of reconciliation and building beloved community. In this world of injustice, it will be joining God's work of the rising up of the longed-for tidal wave of justice. In this world where souls and hearts hurt, it will be joining in God's work of love. In this world where it seems that all that is solid melts into air, it will be joining God's work of rhyming hope and history. So in the name of Jesus Christ, hope for a great sea change. In the name of Jesus Christ, believe that a farther shore is reachable from here. Believe in miracles and cures and healing wells. Listen for the outcry and birth cry of new life in Christ. God is up to something. God is always up to something. And we get to join in that adventure. And the promise is, by joining that work, our own lives are healed. By enduring in that work, we gain our souls. May it be so. Amen.
Bishop Bard, thank you so much for that inspiring message. It's really hard to, if you have the image of from Malachi and the well-fed calves, might be me. I did have the choice also on a white or black suit. I chose black because otherwise you might think this was Fantasy Island. And honestly, I did not want that. We do have one prayer quilt this morning. And if you would, after the service, take time to tie a knot, sign the card, and say a prayer for Bob. And now won't you join me as we ask God to bless this quilt. Merciful and loving God, we are so grateful for being gathered here this morning, that there are so many people that we ask for your healing, your guidance, your strength, that whenever Bob wraps himself in this quilt, that he feels all of them and he feels your presence. And Lord, if you would recall all of the prayer quilts that have gone before this, and may they still know your presence. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. And now if you would, please join me in an attitude of prayer. Father of heavenly lights, every good and perfect gift we receive comes from you. We give thanks for veterans protecting our ability to gather together for worshiping you. We give thanks for those joining our church community for fellowship, service, and worship. We give thanks for retiring the mortgage on a building dedicated to worshiping our Lord. By your divine power, we have what is needed for a godly life through our knowledge of Jesus. Let this be a place for growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let this be a place for teaching how to live out your truth and have fellowship with each other. Let this be a place for encouraging relationships with you through obedience to your commands. We love you as you first loved us so much that you sent your Son to make us right with you. Let this be a place for recalling that loving you is following Jesus' commands and his teachings. Let this be a place for growing sincere love that hates evil and honors others before ourselves. Let this be a place for helping each other keep your commands so our love for you is complete. Jesus paid the price for our sins and showed us what it means to serve and not be served. Let this be a place for cheerfully discovering and using our gifts to serve our Heavenly Father. Let this be a place for planning, preparing, and doing good works that others see you in us. Let this be a place for growing faith that lives by our works in service to our Creator. Lord, hear our silent prayers of confession as you faithfully forgive our sins and purify us for you. Come now, let us pray the prayer together, the one that Jesus taught us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Well, at this time, I would invite our new members to come forward as we're going to celebrate you joining in membership and making this place your church home. Would you please come on up and we can stand across the front of the chancel here and welcome you this day. Well, it has been a wonderful joy to meet with these new disciples to our church over the past several weeks in our membership class. It has been a wonderful joy to look through Scripture and talk about the United Methodist traditions and faith. And so now we come today, and today is a time where you're claiming First UMC in Brighton and Whitmore Lake as your church home, as your place where you're going to grow in faith and be a part of the great church community. And so we celebrate that this day. Oh, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church, we are incorporated into God's mighty act of salvation, and we are given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift given to us without price. And through confirmation and then through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant that was declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and we affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church.
Amen. I present for membership these new members as they reaffirm their faith.
Randy and Kathy Aaron, Barbara and Todd Nice May, Heather Hudson, Gary Hazley, Paula and Joe Cunningham, Rose and Bob Bledsoe.
And now to all of you, we're going to begin asking you some questions, and I'm going to begin. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of the world, and repent of your sin? If so, answer, I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages and nations and races? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
And according to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? If so, answer, I will.
I will.
Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? And this is a question for everybody, so we invite you to respond, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life? And now include these wonderful brothers and sisters into your care as well. And your response is on the screen. With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness, that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them, that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life.
Let all of us gathered here together join in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. My friends, do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. Who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
And now I turn to you, new members, and I ask you, as members of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in the ministries of the church by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, answer, I will.
I will.
So members of the household of God, I commend these persons now into your love and your care. May you do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. Your response is on the screen. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of our church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
May the God of all grace, who has called us into eternal glory, may establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen.
Amen.
We welcome you. And following worship, I would invite you to meet and get to know our new members, and you can notice their corsage so you can quickly identify them and get to know them. We welcome you this day. And then,
well, friends, we come to a time in the service where we have an opportunity to respond to all of the good that God is up to in this place. And so in a moment, the ushers will come forward and receive this morning's offering. If this is your first Sunday with us, please feel no obligation to give. Your presence here in this space is a gift in and of itself. But if this is your spiritual home, we invite you to give generously so that we can continue to build God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. So we invite the ushers to come forward and assist us as we receive this morning's offering. Amen. Thank you.
Well, dear church, we gather this Sunday morning. We come to the table of grace. We come to receive the bread of life and the cup of grace given for us. We come this day. May the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. And when we turned away, your love never failed. Your love remained steadfast.
You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through the prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join in their unending hymn,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit.
On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks for it, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took a cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you can and drink it in remembrance of me."
And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on all us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
By your Spirit, make us one with Christ and one with each other, one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit in your church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
In a moment, the ushers will be moving through the sanctuary to invite you to come forward to receive the communion elements here at this table. And we want you to know that you don't have to be a member of this or any other church to come forward and receive these elements. This is an open table. Thanks be to God. We're all welcome at God's heavenly feast. When you come forward by the center or the side aisles, we'll invite you to take a piece of bread. We'll give it to you and dip, you know, we'll give you a cup as well, and you'll receive the elements of communion. There are waste baskets in the front. Reverend Lynn Hazley will be serving gluten-free elements for anybody for whom that might be helpful to receive gluten-free elements. All has been made ready. Will you please come and feast at this heavenly banquet? Amen. Amen. I invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, for this wonderful feast and for our opportunity to be together, we give you thanks as we celebrate you this day and the work that you're calling us to do in this world. Thanks be to God for this holy communion and this time together. Amen. We invite you to stand and join us in singing our closing song. Amen. To invite forward Art Neff and John Benkarski and Reverend Dr. Sherry Parker Lewis to come forward and assist in this moment. This is a long time coming. For those of you that don't know, our treasurer Art Neff has been writing checks at our church for more than 40 years. And and this is Art yesterday signing the checks. But I also want to let you know that Art had the privilege of signing the last check that we took to State Bank a couple of weeks ago, and he handed it over to State Bank, and we're debt-free, and we're so excited about that. Amen. So we're really praying that the scripture readings weren't prophetic today, that all of the stones of this building will be left, you know, standing on top of one another. There are fire extinguishers in the house, but we are going to burn this mortgage in an act of celebration. And in a plug for United Methodist Camping Ministries, we've got a nice marshmallow roaster here that we will be holding over a fireproof bin here as we burn the mortgage. So I would like, Art, if you wouldn't mind holding on to this, and you can come over here to this side and hold it over our fireproof bin. And I'd like, Sherry, this was a big part of your ministry here. It was a major priority for you. So, yeah, we give her the hard job this morning. Welcome back. We're grateful to have you. But in this moment, we would love for you to set the mortgage ablaze and allow us to put our debt behind us. Of course, it's on legal-sized paper, so. Amen. We want to let you know that there is a reception planned for all of us just right outside in the community room. We'd love to invite you to stick around for cake. If you don't get a chance to see the cake, on the front of the cake is an image of the mortgage itself, so we're literally eating it today. And we're so excited to be celebrating what this means, and we look forward to continued conversations about what this will mean for our church and our community in the days and the months and the years to come. And so we're so excited to be free of this debt, but more excited about all the ministry that has taken place inside this building and in this space. So I'd like to invite Bishop Bard to offer a closing benediction as we end our time together.
Friends, may the burning symbolic of the way God's Spirit continues to burn in each of your hearts and minds and souls with God's love in Jesus Christ. May God continue to tend those embers. May you do your part in tending those embers so that again and again you may rise up in delightful glowing fire to touch the world with God's love, God's grace, God's justice. Because, friends, God is always up to something. And you get to join in what God is up to.
Here, here.
The grace and peace of God be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, thanks, Sherry. We want to recess out. We can, Oh, thanks, Sherry. Thank you, Art. Appreciate it. Yeah.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.